All right, Carl, we're back for Whiteboard Weekly. Welcome to the show, everybody. Jason Ackerman here, Carl Eagleman, the artist, as I like to refer to him.
Jason Ackerman, the host.
That may be true, but I think your talent is more impressive than being able to talk. So
no, you got the gift of gab, which is important, very important.
The gift of gab. That's what my mom always said. But today we're going back to August 7th, 2019. So you guys near your computer or near your phone, you can scroll down. And today's cue is push the earth away. We're talking specifically for deadlifts. And we actually referred to this not too long ago on our Patreon account, where every day we dive a little deeper into your drawings and offer some feedback and more cues. But for this one, you actually got it from Julian Bickle, and you say he had a brilliant idea for a different way to illustrate this cue. I hope you guys find this useful. When deadlifting, what does this mean? A great cue from Dan John that always stuck with me was to push your heels to China. Of course, if you live in China, then if you live in China, then push them to Utah. Is Utah directly below China? Is that a true statement?
Well,
is that a geography thing?
Yeah, again, this is John Gaglione. I apologize if I'm butchering your name. But yeah, this is a quote coming from him. That's actually where I pulled that. But yeah, keep on going. Yeah, I don't know if it's directly across from Utah and China, but who knows?
You say pushing your heels to the ground delivers a much better start to the deadlift, whereas a yanker, that's an interesting term there, will often use too much lower back to finish the pull. So really the whole premise of this cue, push the earth away, you're saying it's all about the initiation of the deadlift.
Yeah. 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 This, to be honest, I'm really glad that we're kind of diving deeper into this cue, because for me personally, this is a game changer. This is one of the ones that once I imagined this, everything kind of just made sense to me. Pushing the earth away, rather than thinking about picking something up, for me, pushing my heels down and letting the rest of the movement just kind of fall into place made such a big sense. And actually, I did, when I was doing deadlifts today during my training, I was thinking push the earth away on every single deadlift. So it's, I hope that people can benefit from this, and I know that you probably have a lot to talk about it with it as well. So yeah, I'm glad we're digging into it.
Well, last week we talked about whole foot, whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, that was more so in relation to the Olympic list, but this is really a common theme that, you know, if someone follows Whiteboard Daily, you see there's so much relative to the feet when it comes to CrossFit, when it comes to lifting. That, I mean, the amount of cues out there are really endless. When you think about pushing the earth away, tell me about, you know, when you're thinking of the deadlift specifically, first run me through your setup. You know, when I worked with Ripito, we used to say stance, shins, knees,
yep.
Grip, pull. That was the five step that I used to use. Stance, meaning, you know, set your feet hip width apart and the knot of your shoelace underneath the bar.
Yep.
Then we'd say shins, which is, you know, get your shins to, or the bar to touch your shins. Knees, meaning bend your knees. Grip, grab that bar, pull. Where are you thinking about this idea of pushing the earth away when it comes to your setup?
Yeah. Well, first off, speaking about that Ripito cue, and it's really like the Ripito sequence, I drew up exactly what you're talking about just now. And I know, you know, when it comes to strength, Ripito is one of the foremost. Not just when it comes to publications, but just the knowledge that he has shared. I've learned so much from him in the past. So a conversation that includes Ripito is going to have some good content.
Told you how Ripito took years off my life? Did I tell you that?
No, but that's all you need to say. I understand where you're going with this.
There's about a year where I traveled with him and the crew teaching starting strength and when he was involved in CrossFit. And the weekends were show up in a new city, do tons of shots of scotch and whiskey, eat you know, huge amounts of steak, get about 4 hours of sleep, train all day and teach people, repeat. And I would come home wrecked, and it would take me the whole week to recover. and hit the road again. And yeah, that took years off my life. And then there was a point in time, sorry for those listening, there's construction going on in my house. I don't know how loud this is.
It's all good.
Feels like they're next door, or like literally, but one, so just so you understand, Mark Ripito. So we're in Washington, D.C., teaching a seminar. We finish the weekend, and it's Monday, and prior to our flights home, we go to the Smithsonian. So we go into the Smithsonian, and in order to get into the Smithsonian, you had to go through a metal detector. So I walk through, no problem. Rip walks through, and it's like tons of beeping, lights are flashing, and it was like a scene from a movie. He starts emptying his pockets,
oh my gosh.
He just had like 10 knives in his pockets. And I'm like, what were you going to do with all these? Like, what's happening that you need all these knives? He's like, we're in, the biggest crime city, Washington, D.C. I need to be protected. I'm like, all right, protected. Well, we can't go to the Smithsonian. That's what we've done.
Yeah.
So it was so funny. Long story.
Yeah. Ripito needs a lot of protection. He's a, don't get me wrong. I love the Ripito stories. I'm sure there's tons more where that came from. With regard to setup for the deadlift, I know, people can say this is corny. People can say that it's just silly. I don't care. But when it comes to me deadlifting and thinking about pushing the earth away, I literally imagine myself in like a marshy swamp, and I think about gripping the bar and just driving my heels into the earth and pulling more. It's more like a push to me, like pushing down into the earth. For me, that it just makes sense. When I'm pulling, and also along the same lines too, I see so much of a skill transfer between the deadlift and, for me personally, again, rowing. That initial drive, pushing into the foot stretchers, and keep that back angle the same until either the handle of the rower or the deadlift, the bar gets to above my knees, and then I open up that back angle, push through the rest of my legs, and then either you stand all the way up or you hit the rest of the catch if you're doing a row. So again, I think so many people, when they see deadlift, they think of like, oh, okay, I got to pick this bar off the ground. And essentially, yeah, that's what you're doing. But if you're thinking about the picking up part, you're usually only thinking about half of the movement. And you really got to imagine the whole rest of the posterior chain kicking into gear there with that push against the ground. So I don't know. How do you feel about this, Jason?
No, we joked a little bit earlier about that idea of yanker. And I get what you're saying. It's like, if the first thing you think about is just pulling, I think you're going to miss the idea of recruiting your posterior chain as well. You know, you're going to try to use your upper body. You're going to use primarily your lower back. Where if you can really think about digging your heels in and pushing down, I think that's going to help you fire the hamstrings and your glutes a lot more than simply thinking about pulling. It's funny. I remember, I've owned a few boxes over the years, and I used to do a lot of coaches development, and we would go through, one coach would teach, one coach would kind of watch, and we would give feedback, and we were teaching the deadlift, and one of my coaches used the cue of push. And I was like, what are you talking about? His name was Sean. I was like, Sean, what are you talking about push? Like, why are you saying that? And he's like, oh, because I think about the deadlift as a push, and just to show like how open-minded you need to be as a coach and need to be, in general, when it comes to fitness, like I was so like, no, the deadlift is a pull, but really, like you're saying, it is pushing the earth away, or, pushing into the ground, which allows you to load up that back. And then, like you said, and you can even see it in your picture. I think if someone's looking at the picture, from mid shin to the knee, whether it's the deadlift or one of the Olympic lifts, you're thinking heels down drive. And then once you get to that knee, like you mentioned, it's just opening up that angle.
Yeah, exactly. So, and also recently on Whiteboard Daily, I revisited a post that I drew a long time ago, and I really like the way that this is phrased. It's rather than seeing the deadlift as that name implies, if you think of it as the earth press. And I learned this cue or this name from Steph Pearl. And so if you go to at Steph Pearl Strong on Instagram, or just go to the, you know, one of my most recent posts here, you'll see the one where it's the earth press. And so again, going along with the same idea of push the earth away, the earth press, you're pressing against the earth as you stand up with the bar. Again, I think that it really makes a lot of sense. And also I take a quote from Jake Boley, talking about like why pushing is an underrated cue for the deadlift. And he says, you're always using your legs during the deadlift, but once the focus gets shifted to pushing with them, then it becomes much more beneficial. And I think that's definitely true with this. So yeah, just kind of free your mind, open it up to different ways of looking at body movement and body awareness. And especially when it comes to something like the deadlift, you'll be surprised to realize that a lift that's so simple can actually be not just complex, but if you take a different perspective on it, it can become easier perhaps, or make more sense.
I like that idea of like, these movements are so complex, yet they're so simple, right? You know, think about the deadlift. I mean, there are doctors around the world telling people not to deadlift.
Yeah.
Does that not still blow your mind to some extent?
And we talk about the Glassman quote about picking a pencil off the ground. And I think it would be kind of cool to maybe somehow tie this into Whiteboard Daily somehow, some way. Maybe it's just a video that we do, but you know how people, how athletes will do those those video sequences of adding plates to a bar as they go through a lift. And I'm thinking about starting a deadlift with just picking a pencil off the ground and then picking a PVC pipe off the ground and then picking a bag of cat food off the ground and then picking a bag of groceries off. You see what I'm saying? Like these are all deadlifts and it's so functional. And to say that your doctor or so-and-so says that you shouldn't do deadlifts is really more detrimental to your life than what you realize. You need to be able to, we as humans, you need to be able to pick something off the ground. Once you stop, and just as important, you need to be able to squat down and sit down and stand back up. These are functional movements that we can't make life so simple for ourselves that we neglect our body from doing these movements. So yeah, deadlifts is will always be one of the main movements of life.
Yeah, Coach Glassman used to refer to the deadlift as the healthy lift in some of his old journal articles. And I think it's unfortunate that it got the name the deadlift, because mm-hmm. the deadlift sounds scary. Where yeah. the healthy lift, if you tell someone, hey, we're doing the healthy lift today, they're like, well, of course, sign me up. I want to be healthy. But when you're telling them we're doing the deadlift, they're like, oh, no, I can't do that. Two of my favorite Coach Glassman quotes that I think really relate to the deadlift are, the deficiency defines the need. And when you think about the deficiency defines the need, it's, hey, the more you struggle with this and the more, you know, you can't do this, the more important it is for you to do it. I mean, Carl, what's your best deadlift?
My best deadlift, probably, well, all-time best deadlift is probably like 450 or so. Maybe, 450.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, and Pat Sherwood says this all the time, it's like, cool, Carl, you're at the most you are going to need in life when it comes to the deadlift. Like if there's a time in your life that you need to deadlift 450 pounds or more, like it's an emergency and hopefully you have other people there, 911 is there, et cetera. But I mean, outside of your garage, you're never going to have that need. I mean, I would argue it's probably somewhere around 315. Like if you can deadlift 315, you have all the capacity you'll ever need in the deadlift. But grandma, who struggles to pick up like that bag of cat food that you referred to, she needs to get stronger. The deficiency, the less capable you are at doing this, the more you actually need to do it. You could probably never deadlift again in your entire life, Carl, and you'll always be able to pick up 405 or 365 or something. And my other quote that I really love from Coach Glassman is, the needs of our grandparents and Olympic athletes differ by intensity, not by kind. And it's really the, you know, two ways of saying the same thing. Hey, we all need to deadlift. You know, how much we need to deadlift is relative, but I can tell you when you have a relative that is struggling to pick up their groceries, it's a matter of weeks, months, or years before they're in assisted living.
Yeah. And obviously the same goes for those who can stand up from a seated position or not. I mean, I remember, so recently, speaking of that, I was at my mother-in-law's and the neighbor came over. I was playing with our daughter in the front yard and he asked, could she come over and help them get into their house? And I was like, well, what do you, yeah, of course. I don't know how she's going to help you. And what, long story short, what they had like a dog door. And so she could actually crawl into the dog door, unlock the door and come through. And that's what she did. But the reason she had to do that is because they were visiting their father, and the father could actually not get up out of the chair in order to come and unlock the door. And so here's this emergency situation where they needed to come in to see him, but because of his capacity or lack thereof, he was not able to do something as simple as get out of a chair. And I think he had one of those assisted chairs that kind of like help you stand up out of it. And I'm not sure if the electricity had gone out or the chair.
Like Gremlins, working. Remember Gremlins? Like the woman that you see is the chair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you think about how it's like if you don't use it, you lose it. So you better use it before you lose it. And squatting, deadlifting, these are basic movements that we all must do for regular life. So getting back to the cue, push the earth away, the earth press, any which way you can think about it. And whether you're picking up 405, 450, whatever, or just a pencil off the ground. These are things that we must do and we cannot lose the capacity to do them.
So let me ask you a challenging question, Carl, on topic, off topic. Mm-hmm. When you meet someone new, and maybe you haven't done this in a while, but I maybe 2 years ago started helping my mom and two of her friends, you know, they once a year when I was living near my mom, hey, can you show us around the gym?
Yeah.
And I would always kind of indulge her and take her through the machines and put her through them. And we, the most recent time I did it, I'm showing her the machines and they were like, what's this one? And I was like, and it really baffled me. I was like, honestly, I don't even know what this machine is. Like, I've been in this field for 25 years. I don't know what this is. And I kind of like had that moment of clarity. I was like, let's scrap this. I'm going to teach you how to squat. And yeah. The three of them, you have to imagine, first of all, there are three women in their 60s. They're these old Jewish women, Carl, where I know you're from Indiana. I'm not sure if there's a lot of Jewish people there, but they're very neurotic. You know, and they're like, I can't squat. I'm going to get hurt, blah, blah, blah. I said, all right.
Yeah.
And so this is, I said, you're right. I said, maybe that's too much. Let's do the following. There were three benches. And I said, I'd like for you to stand on the edge of the bench. And I'm just going to say, sit. And I just want you to sit to the bench. And then I'm going to ask you to stand. You're going to stand back up. And these benches were, you know, they're probably what, 20 inch benches. So put them like right around parallel. And by the end of it, I tricked them into squatting. And I told them that. I was like, I didn't want to tell you guys, but you just squatted. Like, and think about all the times you do that. When you go to the bathroom, when you sit down for dinner, you know, every time you get in and out of the car, you need to be able to do this forever. I was like, Mom, I love you, but I'm not going to wipe your butt one day. Like, you have to be able to take care of yourself. And it was really a big light bulb moment. Do you have any ways that either you've done that or you would recommend to the listeners what they can do? Because whether they're a coach or a box owner or even just an athlete themselves, the reason we do this is because we want to help people. Like watching someone like you go from 450 to 455 doesn't excite me. Right. Watching someone realize I'm capable of picking something up off the ground and I didn't think I was, that's exciting because you've changed their life. Well, what has been your experience and how would you recommend people go about that?
Yeah. The main thing that you need to do is to communicate what we've been speaking about earlier is the importance of these movements and not just the movements themselves, but how they relate to real and daily life. And whether it's like, and that's why I love sandbags or kettlebells or even like slam balls is because first off, it takes away the stigma of the barbell, which many people, especially elderly people, might be afraid of because, you know, that same barbell is gonna be the same barbell that's used by an Olympic lifter who's gonna hoist 300 pounds over their head or whatever. So if you can in a sand bag looks a lot more like a bag of groceries than in a barbell does. And so if you can have parts or equipment around that closely resembles things that you're going to use in daily life. And the cool thing about that is that those things are so easy to find. One of the things I came across a post recently, and everyone knows about garage gym reviews, and also garage, but also by the way, garage gym experiment is also a really great, I got to put a plug in there too for my buddy Jake, but garage gym reviews, he posted a picture of a really fancy, bumper plate. And the question was like, what do you guys think about this? And one of the guys, one of the top comments was like, man, I remember when the garage gym was all about just like your basic stuff, like not about like keeping up with the Joneses and having the nicest, cleanest, flashiest equipment. But back in the day, it was just like rusty canvas, whatever. It was like the most basic things, because that's really all you need. Ross training, Ross Emnate. Have you heard of Ross Training before?
I've heard of it, but I don't remember where I've seen it. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll link this in the show notes. This is a must, because he takes just the basic equipment that you would need, and he is a beast. And the thing is that when you don't see the limits of like, oh my gosh, this squat rack or this bar or these bumper plates are going to cost so much, you've got everything that you need right now, probably in your house, to have a really great workout. And especially when it comes to functional movement, you can fill buckets of sand and carry them. And I don't care how old you are, but like you can get milk jugs. And everyone's kind of joking about the CrossFit.
Hey, well, so we learned about it during the pandemic, right?
I mean, yeah, right.
And you know, ever see those videos on, you know, they'll pop up wherever, but it's like some other country where someone's making like weights out of cement, and it's impressive, right? Yeah, I think that is one of the greatest lessons CrossFit taught the world.
Yes.
You don't need much.
Yeah. And that's the same complaint, or on the opposite side, people are like, oh, CrossFit is so expensive. You're like, no, when you think about what CrossFit is, it's extremely inexpensive, because you can do it by yourself in your garage, or jam out with your buddies or whatever. You don't need much stuff. You need sand to make something heavy if you want to do it that way. There's tons of ways you can make things inexpensive and functional.
That's a really important statement you just said though, Carl. And I think it needs to be clarified, and I'd like to write this down. CrossFit isn't expensive. Coaching is expensive.
Yes. That's the key.
You know, and CrossFit is free.
Yeah.
I mean, and to the point where whether it's Tabata or burpees or go run a 5K, I mean, all of that is free. I don't particularly pay because I'm a coach at a box, but I have a garage gym with a Rogue foldable rig and a full set of bumpers and some kettlebells. Like, I can do 99% of workouts in the box. I travel to the gym for the coaching and for the experience and for the community.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important that we note that CrossFit is free. Coaching is expensive.
Yeah. And at the same time too, if you're a coach, you should understand the value and the expertise that you bring as a coach. You shouldn't be short selling yourself on this. These are very important skills that you need to have. And if you do have them, you need to understand the value that comes with that as well. So I don't want people to be shortchanging themselves about all of this. And it comes for any subject matter expert too. You need to understand the value that you're providing for other people. And that's a different episode altogether, I'm sure.
Let me offer you a quick challenge as we wrap up this episode, Carl. If I gave you $1,000, what would you buy for your garage gym?
$1,000. Geez. Well, that's a really tough question.
I know, putting you on the spot, Carl.
Me,
and you don't have your current garage gym.
Yes. Okay. Me, because I love Olympic lifting, I would focus on a barbell, bumper plates, and some crash cushions, just because I like to be, considerate, with the noise and stuff like that. But that's all I need. And I'm going to be doing that for as long as I possibly can. A bar, bumpers, and crash cushions, because I think it's important.
I'd say you still have a little bit of money left, and I would just add to that a pull-up bar.
Yes, yes. And
right.
And to be honest, for the general population out there, you probably want to start with a pull-up bar, because you can do so much with that. And there's so many different ways you can mount a pull-up bar. And body weight stuff is so, it's so easy to make available for yourself, whether you're hanging rings from the ceiling and whether you're mounting a pull-up bar along the wall or you're doing parallettes or whatever. Like, you can do so much with just your body weight. And I hope people understand that as well. And that talk about an inexpensive way to create a really kick-ass gym is to have a big emphasis on gymnastics movements and understanding how your body moves and how you can work with it. So yeah, good question though, man.
No, I think truly for $1,000 or less, you can have one of those pull-up bars that mount to the wall.
Yeah.
Right. You could probably buy one of those individual squat stations. When I opened my first box in 2007, there was this eBay site. I think it was called like Christian's.
Yes. Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Christian. Yeah. Christian's X training equipment or
something like that. And it was just, I was buying at the time in 2007, they were like $120 a squat stand.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to like Tetris them into the corner of the room when you're done with them.
Yeah.
Cause it would just take up, you know, not like using a rig these days, but I'd have the pull-up bar, that a decent, I'd probably go on Rogue or Get RX and buy a $300-$350 bar. And
yeah. Yeah.
If I, you know, to fit the budget, you probably couldn't afford comp plates, but you get some high temp plates that you could bounce, like you said. And for $1,000, you really can do any CrossFit workout and you can become proficient in the Olympic lifts and the gymnastic movements. And, you know, like we're saying, CrossFit's not expensive. So I think that's really important. Well, Carl, I love it. Push the earth away. I think it's a really important cue. Do you have the picture pulled up, Carl?
Yeah, I do.
I want to ask you a question about the picture before we wrap up. And I hate to point out some flaws, but I have a question about this. If you look at the first stick figure and you were to, you know, this drawing was over a year ago now, would you change anything about the setup there?
The setup, yeah, I would. So I'm looking at it. I would probably have his heels a little bit, like there's a bit too much of a bend there. I have the shin angle a little bit more vertical. I really think I'm actually going to redraw this one. And especially once I saw, when you mentioned that.
I don't want to bring this up because you're such a perfectionist. I wasn't trying to give you more work, but go ahead.
No, I couldn't believe that this is like over a year old, man. I feel like I just drew this like last month or so, but it's, I've gotten to become a much better drawer artist since then. But yeah, I don't like that start position.
I was just going to say, we talked about this on Patreon. We were doing some deadlift cues for the subscribers. And one of the things I often say in that setup position is, I say it in the video, like whether you're 6'7" like Carl or 5'3" like me, the setup looks the same, right? You have your knees are somewhat over your heels, your hips are above your knees, and your shoulders are over the bar. If I saw someone set up like this, I'd probably give them one of three cues, you know? So for the listeners there, I always tell them there's three things, you know, we're being nitpicky, so I'm not trying to pick on Carl's drawing, but I'm just imagining if this is your athlete, really you have three points of the body that we can refer to. Either your knees are too far forward, your butt's too low, or your shoulders are too far back. Now, you can say knees back, which would ideally lift that butt up a little bit higher. You could say shoulders forward, which would, of course, try to accomplish the same thing. And what I say in our video on Patreon is, I think most people understand where their butt is in space more than anything else.
Yeah.
So if I can get you to lift your butt a little bit higher, it's going to pull those knees back. It's going to get those shoulders a little more forward. And ultimately, it's going to recruit more of your posterior chain. Your hamstrings are going to start to feel it.
Hey, along those lines too, in defense of the stick figure, the bumper plates, and this is the main reason why I would redraw it, is because those bumper plates are much bigger than what they really are in real life. I mean, look at that bumper plate goes above the knee. And
that's relative to me. That's an accurate bumper play. No, you're right though. You're right. The bumper play would probably be more like mid shin, right?
Yeah. And that's why I think his proportions are off. The anthropometrics are different because of that. So anyway,
is it tough for you to look at old drawings? You know, like I use the reference of like George Lucas, you know, 30 years later was messing around with Star Wars, you know, which most people consider a masterpiece. Yeah. Is it tough for you to look at drawings you've done a year ago and think to yourself, like, that should be better?
Yeah. Oh, big time. There's no question. And so I put that on the back burner, like, man, that's one I definitely need to redraw. And I look forward to doing that. There's one too that I redrew was being comfortable with uncomfortable starts with your face. And if someone wants to dig up the very old one that I did with that, it looked really ugly. And then I recently reposted and redrew it, and I think it looks a lot better. Just an example. But yeah, I'm always looking to improve. So anyway.
I love it. I love it, Carl. I think this is a great quote. It's truly something I think about when I deadlift. I know you mentioned you do as well. And I would encourage the coaches out there, the box owners, or even the athletes to think about this and think about if you can dig those heels in and really start to recruit those hamstrings when you pull off the ground. So you don't become a yanker, yeah, like Carl said. But Carl, as always, you want to take us out?
I will, Jason. Again, man, I really appreciate sitting down with you and talking and diving deeper into a coaching cue that we both recognize. I want to thank the listeners so much for your continued support. How many episodes have we done so far, Jason? Six or seven?
I believe this is our seventh or eighth episode. Yeah, we're slowly creeping up there. And again, I love it. You know, I always appreciate you saying that to me, but I want to make sure you know the feeling is mutual. I love talking about this stuff.
Awesome. Me too. And thank you so much to the listener. Thank you so much to our Patreon patrons. You guys you don't know how much it means to us that we can continue to receive that kind of support from you. I guarantee it's going to help us take Whiteboard Daily to the next level and expand the capabilities of what we can do. Thank you so much for listening. Guys, we're going to talk to you next week. And remember, don't ever forget, a high tide lifts all boats. So together, let's keep on rising those tides. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thanks again for listening to today's episode of Whiteboard Weekly. On behalf of Carl and myself, Jason Ackerman, we really appreciate the download. We really appreciate you sharing our episodes with friends, families, your box owner, your buddies at the gym, anyone that's willing to listen to us talk about all things CrossFit, all things coaching, and all things coaches development. We do this because we have an absolute love and passion for it, and we hope that you can tell that through our talking and through each episode. If you haven't already, please feel free to leave us a review on any podcast platform. It goes a long way in helping us spread the word. Once again, thanks again for listening.